Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the major shit. Let's go, hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Living the dream, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And we actually got our missing co-host from last week on the line. What's going on, Couture?
Not much is going on.
Not too much. You sound a little muffled there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Playing Modern Warfare 3.
How's that working out for you?
Fine. I had some suicide bombers with C4 strapped to their chest, but I got them before they could get to me.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we're back to our normal time for the first time in, like, I don't know, like 3 weeks, I guess? It's been
maybe
a while.
A month, yeah.
So, cool. So, I guess since we haven't actually done a news show in like forever, we're just doing pretty much just all news today. And just, I guess, plenty of stuff to talk about. And,
oh, yeah.
I guess we'll let Craig get started here.
Well, I'm going to start off the show with the rotten news of the week. The title just reads, Scott Hall Arrested. TMZ.com is reporting that Scott Hall was arrested on the 6th of this month on a domestic charge after he allegedly choked his girlfriend, Lisa Howell, at her home around 5 p.m. after he had been drinking. And
is
you're all stunned and shocked.
Is this the mother of his son that was on the ESPN special with him, or is this a different lady?
I doubt it.
It says girlfriend, so I'm... Otherwise, it would say something like estranged wife or something like that. So.
I doubt he's still with the woman that bore his child.
If she's smart. I'll say.
But this girl's been with him for a long time. I've heard her name before. I mean, she's been in a few incidents involving Mr. Hall. Not anything recently. It's actually been a while since I have heard her name, but... Yeah, her name's not, it's been in the news before, and now she's trying to, I guess, not press charges, you know, typical battered women syndrome or whatever. They feel sorry for the man or whatever, and then they just decide not to do anything about it and make everything difficult, and will not help him in the slightest bit get any help whatsoever. So, you know, just...
She's been with him for a long time that she's not pressing any charges.
I'll finish reading the story. It says, Howell said that Hall had been drinking for 2 days when they got into an argument. She said that she tried to leave in her car when Hall grabbed her by the throat and dragged her out of the car. The police said Hall apparently appeared heavily intoxicated when they arrived and said that Howell showed several signs of physical injury, so they arrested Hall on domestic battery charges. Howell has refused to press charges thus far, it should also be noted that Hall was so drunk that the jail refused to book him and that he had to be taken to a hospital and cleared before he could be incarcerated.
Wow. Kind of take him to like George did to Lenny and the Mice and Men, take him out to the woods.
Put a bullet in him.
Terrible.
Look at the sunset. Look at the sunset, Scott. Look at the sunset.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, and you know whose fault this is all this? I blame Stone Cold for, because he actually did get clean. He got clean for a little bit. He was taking that medication that makes you violently ill if you drink alcohol, and apparently he was actually clean for a while. And then he worked with Stone Cold, who would pour a bunch of beer on him and basically just getting a little taste in his lips, caused him to decide to start drinking even though he knew he was going to get sick, and he's never even come close to recovering since then.
And that was really Jack Daniels that
before, but, you know, that was
no
really
on CM Punk.
Yeah. And you know what wonders it did for Jake the Snake Roberts.
Probably unalcoholic beer.
Oh, sure. Well, that'd be my guess. And the bottle.
Remember when they were doing the angle when he was all drunk on TV and had drinks and like little umbrellas in his drinks and shit?
I remember when he threw up on Eric Bischoff.
Oh, dude.
Do you remember when Ric Flair was leaving the Nut House and he was in the bus with all the Nut House and
he just randomly showed up.
There's Scott Hall was like that little gay bandana he used to wear.
Yeah, and Asia was there and AAA was there. Yeah, I remember that.
That was so awesome. But in fact, it's a shame because, I mean, you know, it was so awesome for, like, you know, a period of time, for a long period of time. And then just he's like a younger version of Roddy Piper and guys like that, but just doesn't have, like Piper and Jake and all them, they might be fuck-ups, but at least they, you know, have kept from like getting in that kind of trouble, you know, for the most part. You know, they're just...
He's been fine with these in WWF. I never heard nothing bad until he went to WCW. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but, you know.
Maybe Kevin Nash is the correlation.
I don't know. Kevin Nash seems like to actually be, like, to have the best mind out of all those people.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Thing about him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you never hear about Nash having drug issues like Hall or Waltman, you know.
I mean, he may have, like, back when they were all in that NWO period. I'm sure they had some kind of, they were doing stuff all, and of course, back in the WWF, they're doing shit all the time, but, I mean, never heard anything, like, anything really bad like that about Kevin Nash back then.
Did you ever see the clip of Max Payne's movie Couture or Craig?
Yeah, I saw when Louis Spicoli was like in his underwear and he's stumbling around in the hallway or something.
Yeah, like I watched it. I actually heard about this clip or this whole thing kind of came out when I first actually got on the internet, and it was actually one of the first things that I ever like downloaded, and it was the old telephone wire connected to the computer feed, so you know, no high speed or anything like that. And it was a very shitty picture, but basically there's a scene where it's basically Sal Waltman, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash and somebody else, and Waltman's got like a bag full of pills and they're looking at it, and it's like a drug deal on live on the air. Or not live, but it's like a drug dealer live on camera.
Yeah. That film never made it to air. Shocking.
Surprisingly. I mean, it's surprising that it never did. I'm shocked.
If it was today, it probably would. I mean, everything seems to come out. No matter.
They should have showed that. They should have showed that right after they showed the click curtain call.
Yeah. And PJ is another one. I mean, it's not like you hear all these great stories about PJ. Sean had it. I mean, I think the only ones you never heard about having drug issues were Nash and Hunter out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Sean obviously had his issues and then got cleaned up and everything. And Hunter and Nash seem to be the smartest at all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hunter is always in one, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. And then you see pictures of Shawn Michaels on his Facebook page plowing his field today. Talk about one extreme to the other.
I thought Shawn Michaels was high when he came out of WrestleMania a couple weeks ago. He's goofy when he comes back there and does all that dancing bullshit.
Thank you.
Maybe he's pissed that this pyro didn't go off and he looked stupid.
It actually, I don't know if they caught him on camera, but it actually went off, like, above the stadium. You know what I mean? It
yeah.
didn't go off behind him. It went off, behind, you know, in the, on top of the stadium.
He had problems like that before. I remember when he tried shooting the gun off and it shot blanks and would nothing happen.
Oops.
They actually had quite a lot of fireworks. I wonder how much of them they actually showed on the TV.
Now they had fireworks like it looked like a mile away from the damn thing.
That was nutty.
Yeah. That's cool. Even cooler than the fireworks were the jets, because the jets were right over the stadium as when they flew over.
Yeah,
I mean,
nuts.
They were like right there. I was like, whoa.
I tell
yeah,
you what,
could feel like the heat. You feel like the heat right. coming off of them as they buzz by.
Could you feel the heat from Kane's pyro?
Not this time.
Not this time.
I
tell you what,
the best
shot
either.
Of me, best shot for me, like the whole show. And was like when, I don't know if you caught this live, but it came out as an awesome visual on TV. It was when Taker and Hunter were standing like face to face at the start of the match, and they both looked up, and they came engulfed in the smoke, and then the Metallica hit, and the cell started coming down. That was like one of the best visuals I've ever seen.
I will check that out when it comes out on Blu-ray on May 8th.
I got an awesome photo from my photos on my Facebook of like when I took a picture of the big screen where it's right after he took the hood off and he's got like his eyes aren't all the way rolled back, but it looks pretty fucking badass in it.
Shall we continue?
Sure.
Next story, unless you've been living under a rock, Brock Lesnar's first match will be at Extreme Rules against John Cena.
I'm fine with that. I don't need to wait this month to see Brock or whenever they want to.
Yeah, like Lance like is totally right compared to Brian and Dave. I mean, what the hell is Brock going to do for 2.5 months? I mean,
not
the
Rocky
because
come out there with
they basically you got Dave making the thing about you don't want Brock to wrestle before or you know do anything into this major, and then you got Brian. Oh, well, he should do like squash match. Like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard Brian Alvarez say.
They've got him at least, what, 2 or 3 TVs a month for the next year. I mean, it's not The Rock where he can come out, like, every week with a fucking ukulele and sing and dance for 20 minutes, and that'll be it. You know?
That would be gold, though.
Brock has to kill people, so.
Yeah.
I'm
here.
So
and you want to
should.
You want to start off using him? I mean, they're like they were kind of saying that maybe they're using him too quick. They're going to go through their dates. Well, I'm pretty sure they are going to go through their dates pretty quick. But it's the start of it. You want to get him there, boom, 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 and then you can like kind of back off or like give him a week off because he's off this week, and then like you know here and there. But you use him, you know, you got to start off with a bang.
Yeah, I would only say that you know WrestleMania always coming like right at the 1st of April every year. There's really no need for do that April pay per view later in the month. They should just
agree.
They should get rid of that and just go to like mid or late May. Because after what WrestleMania costs, people aren't going to spend money like 3 or 4 weeks later for another show. I mean, fools like me, like myself will, but I mean like normal people won't. But you know, I just think it's just. Like, those few weeks after WrestleMania, they're always kind of, I know, they're kind of low-key, you know. It's just kind of, everything seems a little sluggish right after WrestleMania. Well, except now with Brock in, it seems a little bit better, but, I mean, normally. So, they could have built it up for like a month or a month and a half, like the match. So, and then maybe a little bit better. But I'm fine with it. I thought the brawl on Monday night was fucking awesome.
I think everything that Brock Dunn's been awesome. I mean, just when he came out and when he gave him the first F5. And then Cena's awesome because he sold it like a motherfucker. He sold, you know, basically both of them. And,
well, the punch, he didn't have to sell very much.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just said, lay the first one in or something like that.
Yeah, it's possible.
I mean, some were saying, well, maybe he had a blood packet. And I said, well, I don't know, you face that fat lip, you know?
it was was there most of the rest of the night. That's something you can't really fake.
And I love the kick to the balls. He's just like a big jock asshole. He just runs up and kicks the guy right in the nuts.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
And when he punted the cap, that was awesome when he made his return.
The best way I could describe his charisma, because, you know, even though he can't cut a promo, the dude is just loaded with charisma. He's kind of like Kerry Von Erich. He's got charisma, he just doesn't really know it.
Yeah, he's going to bring Heyman back to be his mouthpiece again. I think that would be awesome.
I wish.
I love how Dave puts it in the newsletter. He said Brock's just a like the first mercenary in wrestling. He don't give a shit about wrestling. He's here to make money, and he's just going to kill people.
Speaking of Paul Heyman, did you know that today is the 15th anniversary of ECW's very first Barely Legal pay-per-view?
That's right. Yeah, I saw some stuff on that today.
Yeah.
I remember watching that show live.
Yeah, it was great. Loved that pay-per-view. Guys from Michinoku Pro.
Oh, that was an awesome match. Sound like they were wrestling on top of like one of those tin sheds with that ring.
Yeah, they had a mic to it.
Speaking of that, let's get off topic because you brought up that show.
Yeah, sorry.
Sure, did you ever, I'm sure, I know Greg probably hasn't seen it, but do you remember it was like a, you know how they showed a lot of the behind-the-stage stuff on Beyond the Mat, and it showed like a lot of Paul Heyman's speech. Well, back a little bit after that, they came out, they released a special edition VHS tape. It wasn't a DVD, it was just VHS, it was like a gold edition, and it had more from like ECW backstage, and it had the entire speech that he gave. And did you ever like check to see that, Couture?
I don't think I ever got that special edition tape. No, I don't think I have.
I got 30 minutes, and it just had some awesome shit in it. But if you think what Paul Heyman was badass, what they showed on Beyond the Mat, this speech that he gave, I mean, it was one of the most incredible things I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I had some kind of a special DVD edition of Beyond the Mat. It had like I think commentary with like
I got that one,
and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah,
somebody like that.
Yeah. But no,
I remember that speech. All the wrestlers were sitting there. They looked like zombies, just kicking it all.
And then the best part of like the whole pull apart, because like you know there's been a million pull aparts. It's become basically cliche. I mean, it doesn't really even mean anything half the time. But they made this one mean a lot because they sent everybody, including like top guys, to go break up the fight, and then Lesnar just by accident made it totally awesome when he just punched Cena right in the freaking mouth.
That's something I think they should have done with Rock and Cena.
Yeah, instead of the back and forth and
there was all the stuff about them not touching before the match, and I don't know, if they just get into like a quick pull apart, it's not a big deal, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be like a match or something like that, but something like that, I mean, like that was awesome with Cena and Brock.
Yeah. And we had three.
You don't see anymore.
I don't know, Brock just looked like Brock is, you got this whole clown show and Brock's just there, he's just like just a serious son of a bitch, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He kinda looked goofy out there with John Laurinaitis, but I could understand he was introducing him. I mean, if that was me, I would have like done like one of those during the week, like done one of those fake press conferences with like announcing Brock coming back or something after he showed up. Like maybe have Vince McMahon or somebody there. Or, I don't know. Make it look a little more professional.
Yeah. I remember they
did that. Not out there with David Otunga and his tie and his thermos.
Remember they did those press conference things with Pillman when he first came over. It was cool. It's something they don't do anymore.
They did it with Sankara. I think he was like the last one.
Yeah,
I think the one guy that could hold Brock back was like Mark Henry.
Well, yeah.
That's who Brock needed to fight is Mark Henry. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, he needs to kill Cena, and then he needs to kill the Big Show, and he needs to kill Mark Henry. He just needs to kill people left and right until he fights the Undertaker.
He's going to kill Mark Henry because they stole his ring-breaking spot.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Moving on. The main event is set for ROH Border Wars. The news broke on Saturday after footage of ROH's recent private press conference aired during the Ring of Honor Wrestling TV this weekend. It will be ROH World Champion Davey Richards defending his championship against wrestling's worst nightmare, Kevin Steen, on May 12th at Border Wars in Toronto. It is the most demanded match from the ROH faithful since Kevin Steen was officially reinstated following Final Battle 2011. It will go down at the Ted Reeve Arena, and it must be noted that this match is essentially demanded by Richards after Steen crashed the press conference, and that despite the extreme protests from Jim Cornette, it was made official as Davey held a metaphorical gun to Cornette's head, threatening to forfeit the title and go to Japan if the match wasn't made. There you go.
I thought you said he tore a quad or something last week.
Pardon?
I thought you said Kevin Steen tore his quad last week.
Yeah, that was the news that my friend that writes a major newsletter told me that he got a text from somebody about that.
So you're telling me that Brian Alvarez is wrong?
No, I said my friend that writes a newsletter. No, that's what Brian said. He said
this is Brian was wrong.
If I said tore quad, that's not what I meant. I guess injured his quad would be more like it.
Okay.
Obviously. So
yeah, because that same photo, he looks like a fat slob.
Wow.
It's actually part of his gimmick. And he's more serious now because, you know, he's had, like, you know, the feud with Jericho and everything. But you remember when we saw him in Arizona where he basically did a freaking stand-up comedy act during his match. And
by the way,
you know, being a fat slob is part of it. Like, the guy rubs stuck his hand in his balls and rubs his hand on his balls, and then Steen shook his hand and then licked his hand, you know.
Okay, that's just gross.
Yeah, he just crazy shit. He was eating.
I saw a photo of him like in
that big product, putting their shit too.
I can't remember. He was wearing a suit or something, and he had like a tennis racket and a banana.
As Ed was saying, you know, some guy offered him his hot dog, and so he took it and then, you know, just ripped it out of the guy's hand, took a bite of it, and threw it far into the crowd. It was hysterical.
Is he one of those guys supposed to be the heel, but everybody loves?
Yes.
Yeah, he's doing, like, the anti-hero gimmick. And then for some reason, there's, like, a backlash on Davey lately, and people are kind of turning on Davey for some reason. You know,
I don't have a problem with this match going on so soon, but since, you know, I shouldn't say all people, but most people got to see the Elgin match, I would imagine more people want to see that get wrapped up before they go back to Steen.
No, because, you know, basically the people who have seen the pay-per-view and more people who have seen the TV or just haven't Steen, and they know the Steen storyline more than they know the Elgin storyline, so they can come.
Also,
come back
to they've been after building stuff up for waiting a year to do some things, don't they? I mean, building it up for like a little, much longer.
Yeah, they build for like months at a time a lot of times.
Yeah, I miss stuff like
on
that.
On the ROH tip. ROH to get new iPay-per-view distributor. Following the issues with the Showdown in the Sun iPay-per-views on WrestleMania weekend, Ring of Honor will be using another internet pay-per-view provider going forward. ROH announcer Kevin Kelly confirmed the news via his Twitter, writing, "Yes, not on GFL, though thankful to God."
You know, as soon as Logano left fucking Go Fight Live, it went to shit without Logano there to fucking run everything.
Yeah, that's too bad. I actually like Go Fight Live's Roku box thing. I mean, it worked like a champ when I was here. Obviously, I didn't have to see the last two shows because, you know, we were there. But, you know, I don't see Gabe putting them on his channel by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, Dave mentioned in the newsletter that YouTube's looking into doing iPay-per-views. So that could be.
Now, see, they would be professional, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have the money to be professional. I mean, YouTube's fucking makes a lot of fucking money. So, and if, let's say,
yeah,
they could, like, make, like, ROH kind of like their flagship, like, pay-per-view thing, you know, to really get it started, you know, they're going to put a lot of, you know, they're going to advertise it a lot. I mean, they could actually make, it could actually, I mean, it might actually make a difference and help a little.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about internet videos, I mean, YouTube is the place. So I don't see that being a bad deal whatsoever. If anybody knows how to do it, I would imagine it'd be them.
Maybe they'll air the Vince Russo thing. I may buy that just for giggles. You shoot live, they're doing a pay-per-view in June or something. I might get that. Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Pay to be
live. I have an update on Nigel McGuinness's documentary. Nigel McGuinness, 1 month fundraiser on Kickstarter.com ended up being a big success. He needed to raise $32,000 minimum to do a documentary on his career and its ups and downs and the health issues that led to the ending of his career. The period ending on 4/8, he had, I'm sorry, this is written poorly. The period ending on 4/8 with $1,072 and people donating a total of, I'm sorry, let me try this again. The period ending on 4/8 with 1,072 different people donating a total of $48,972. So the documentary will be made. And he'll be able to afford more than he first expected. Apologize for that.
Or he can do the minimum and just pocket the rest of the cash.
He's 32. He could live pretty good on, you know, 12,000 and some change. Not for a long time, but come on. Okay.
Well,
moving right along.
Maybe you use the rest of the money on the, you know, like the AIDS cocktails or whatever disease he has.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding.
On the what?
I'm kidding. That's like something I read on the board or something like that.
I'll say it again. I didn't hear it.
He spent the rest of the money on the AIDS cocktails from the disease he has or something like that.
I tell you,
they
did
amazing that they kept that secret. So kept that. I'm not saying that's what it was, but, you know, it's something else, but. It's been kept that secret for so long. I mean, you know, it's the internet. You know, everything's out there. So,
yeah.
There's been speculation of what it is, which may be true, but, you know, it's never been outright said. So,
moving along to TNA news. Kurt Angle pulls out of the Olympic trials. Gosh, nobody saw this coming. Due to a torn hamstring and knee injuries, Kurt Angle has been forced to pull out of the Olympic trials. However, he can be seen live this Sunday on TNA's Lockdown pay-per-view facing Jeff Hardy in a steel cage.
Which no doubt he's going to do a fucking stupid moonsault off of.
Well, he's going to do a crazy-ass moonsault, and he's going to act like he really hurt himself, and then he's going to say, I really was going to force my way and get it out, but now I really can't.
And he's going to, even before he hits the moonsault, his opponent's going to be so far out of the way, but he's still going to go for it.
he should still go because, you know, he's just so crazy that he could probably win it all.
Mm.
You know, just pull out some of his retard strength and just, like, just upset everybody. I mean, if anyone's going to do something like that, it'd be Kurt Angle. And wouldn't that just be, like, the greatest story ever? Kurt Angle actually did win and actually did fucking qualify.
I bet TNA yeah. still would get no publicity out of it.
Probably not.
They have to do one of those, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's the Olympics, maybe they need to do one of those, like on those corn shows, you know, they do what is like a 420 or 720 exam, you know, when you got to see somebody get fit to stand trial. Is there nothing?
Did you guys watch Impact last night?
No.
Right before I went to work, I got a, the guy that sent me the YouTube link for the wedding, so I watched the wedding right before I left for work.
Yeah, I was actually watching it, and I was goofing off on my iPad, and I was on Facebook when the wedding had started, and I noticed that our good friend Dave Lagana was on the line, so I sent him a message. I said, "Did you book this?" To which he replied, "Yeah," and I said, "Oh." Because, you know, why insult a guy?
He sent me the link, and I was like, as soon as I clicked the link, I saw it was a wedding, and I just like responded, and then I was like, "You and your wacky wedding." And he responded with, it's either that or have a bunch of guys do a bunch of flips and kick out of a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah. he said he booked it from the first date to the I do's. And, I didn't want to insult the man, but I said, well, maybe I would have enjoyed it more if my wife.
Well, not exactly characters where things, plans change all the time.
It was actually pretty good. I liked it.
Really?
It's because they actually got married. It had a happy ending. You got a payoff. And speaking of that, is it wrong that I actually wanted to fuck ODB when she starts the trip?
No, and there's nothing wrong that I don't care.
Okay, then.
Well, I just figured I needed to ask that question because...
Well, no, you didn't.
Well, I did anyway, so...
Yeah, he did. I have a thing about chicks with arm tattoos, so don't ask me. Anyway, more TNA news. There is a pay-per-view this weekend.
Didn't, like, one of the women call him Merkel or something?
Yeah, she did. She Rosita called him.
I read that and reading the report, and I just cracked up.
Rosita's like a Latina Trish Stratus.
Yes, she's a very attractive woman.
I would know more about what happened last night, but there was no Brian and Vinny show.
Mm. You know what? They really missed the boat. You know those little garters that the men wear for their socks. That's what he needed. He needed some of those little, you know.
Like the Fink would wear or Ric Flair?
Yeah. Yeah, he needed those. But other than that, it was...
He should never shave the beard. He looks awesome with that beard.
It looks so different than when he first started. I mean, like almost like a totally different dude.
Yeah. Anyway, with more TNA news, the lockdown pay-per-view is this Sunday, and I'll run down the matches here. Just shout right out when you want to talk about something. All of these will be contested in a steel cage. We have D-Von versus Robbie E for the TNA television title.
Pass.
Matt Morgan versus Crimson.
Pass.
Definitely pass.
Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky.
Pass.
That's going to be five-star classic, dude. Dude, you're going to be surprised. Gail Kim is going to pull out a miracle and pull out a decent match out of Velvet Sky.
Velvet was actually on the morning show I listened to in Seattle, and the DJ asked her what's the weirdest experience she'd ever had with a fan, and apparently before the TNA live events, Velvet goes out and takes pictures with the marks, and they set up a little camera and a printer so they can snap the picture and then print the picture right away. Well, apparently this very wacky woman came up and put her arms around Velvet, and as the guy holding the camera went 1, 2, 3, she reached over and licked Velvet's face.
Ooh. That's why
and then,
this is from the people.
And then she said, well, that picture doesn't look good, and so let's do it again. And 1, 2, and then here comes the tongue again, and this time left a big wad of goober on Velvet's chin. And as she was walking away, one of the girl, quote-unquote girl that licked her face, her friend says, you know she's a him, right?
Oh, she's a her. A her him.
Mm. Yes, post-op. Or pre-op, excuse me.
That's crazy.
So I got a kick out of that.
If I had the opportunity, I think I'd have to lick her too.
Well, I can't argue.
That might be worse spending that in jail.
I'll see what I can do, as I'll be attending a live TNA event here in a couple weeks. TNA Tag Team Championship match, Samoa Joe and Magnus versus the Motor City Machine Guns.
Looking forward to that.
That'll be good.
I like Joe and Magnus. They're a good team.
They are. They are. And I don't know why, but I love that finisher, the snapmare into the elbow drop. It's so simple, but it works.
Seems like the best use they've got out of Joe in years.
Well, that's obviously. I mean, geez. Once again, Jeff Hardy versus Kurt Angle. Imagine Kurt Angle will do something very dumb in this match.
And it'll be, I'm sure it'll be the best match on the show, just because, you know, for crazy Kurt Angle, that's one thing he can do, is have an awesome match.
I don't know. His record in matches hadn't been good lately.
Yeah, but he's been holding back, dude. He's been holding back, and there ain't no, he's not injured. You know he's going to bust his ass in that match like crazy.
Well, I know that you're saying
yeah.
So far he's kind of fallen, but because even a wounded Kurt Angle would throw out a great match, but he just doesn't seem to be doing it lately. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. We'll see exactly, like, you know, maybe we'll see if he is on the down slide, you know, because if he still has the same kind of performance, you'll know that it maybe he is hurt or is, you know, losing it, because I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be, you know, typical Kurt Angle, million miles an hour, just kicking ass the whole time.
Have you guys seen the movie Warrior yet?
No.
Is it the MMA movie? No.
Yeah. Rodney and I actually watched it last Friday night. It's Kurt Angle does a really good job in that movie. It's pretty great movie, actually.
Kurt Angle's awesome. Kurt Angle's like one of the most awesome performers in the world. He's just fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, that's documented. He's nuts. But
Yeah.
The Lethal Lockdown match. If Team Eric wins, Garrett will leave TNA forever and go to Ohio Valley and train. And if Team Garrett wins, Eric will leave TNA and Eric will have to change his name, basically. So
why do you care if you get him out of TNA? Why do you give a shit if he still has the same name?
Exactly.
Right, this shit.
Well, Bischoff,
you know,
he'll
just change
so
it to, like,
ED. Like, valuable.
EG, that's, yeah. Anyway, Team Eric is composed of Gunner,
E-G.
Bully
that's
Ray. I know, I heard you. Hey, Team Eric is Gunner, who is a captain, Bully Ray, Chris Daniels, and Kazarian. Team Garrett, of course, is Garrett Bischoff, AJ Styles, Mr. Anderson, and the new babyface, Austin Aries. Why is Austin Aries a babyface?
I don't know, because he's feuding with Bully Ray over something. I don't know. Didn't they lower that weight limit on the X title or something? I don't know. And
well,
even TNA 2 weeks after you have a major match at WrestleMania, captained by David Otunga, leave it to TNA
right.
To trump everything. I have Garrett Bischoff as the team captain, and he's leading AJ Styles and Rob Van Dam.
Right.
He's the leader. It's awesome.
yes, he is the leader.
There's there's some people that I really want to see in that match, but then there's people who I could really get a rat's ass about, like Mr. Kennedy, but Bubba's so freaking awesome, and, you know, AJ's awesome, and, I mean, it'll be an awesome match just because of who's in the match, but, you know, it'll be some stupid storyline at the end that'll probably suck.
I think Bully Ray, I think he's going to make a great baby face whenever he turns.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
always liked Bubba Ray Dudley. Even when he was a Dudley and he was the slow Dudley, just he's always been pretty good.
The thing that I mark out for every time is the fucking calves.
Oh yeah.
That is just so freaking awesome when he has people they want to see touch his calves or look at his calves. I mean, I don't know why, but that's just so freaking awesome.
Bully Ray's like a diner without any muscles. just a badass. Just a scary man.
Right.
I'm gonna try to get in a calf off with Bully Ray when he comes to Kent, because my calves are huge.
Hey, we got a phone call.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Hold on just one second.
Okay.
Area code 843, who's this?
Hey, this is Scott. Well, how are you guys doing tonight?
What's going on?
Good, are you, Scott?
Not doing too much. I've tuned in late. Not sure if you guys have talked about Lesnar at length yet or if you haven't gotten there quite yet. But
we have, but
all...
go ahead.
Okay. And I'm sorry for tuning in late and not being part of that conversation earlier. What do you guys think would be the best way to maximize him and bring the most attention? My thing would be to actually overplay he's a former UFC champion, but he chose to come back here. I mean, ultimately, what you do with it is you've got to build it as he's this monster knockout killer, and if you're smart, you build it to where it's him and Rock next year at Mania, and you have a built-in storyline. The Hollywood pretty boy gone good against the real fighter. That's your, you know, that's your double main event with whoever you put with Taker. But I think they have to build this as Brock is completely indestructible. He's a monster, and he chose to come back to WWE because that's where his heart is. Now, that doesn't have to be true. That's not the point. The bottom line is the only way to maximize it is to make the fans believe that he chose to come back there. Otherwise, you've got the bottom line of the fans booing him out of town like they did when he left in, what was it, WrestleMania 20 with the Goldberg thing? Yeah. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I was talking about he needs to just kill every single person, and he needs to start with Cena and then go right through all the giants. He needs to take out the Big Show, take out Mark Henry, take out Kane, and then just slowly build. But I think you're wrong. I think the bigger match, the match that would get more interest would be the one with The Undertaker, because they already take that off. And the UFC fans who probably wouldn't normally get the WrestleMania show, they will remember that, and they might want to actually see that. So I would actually rematch Cena and Rock and then have Undertaker and Lesnar. And if you have Lesnar kill every single person and not get touched in the match, you might actually have a match where people might actually think, okay, this is finally the guy that's going to kill The Undertaker.
Yep.
I would do. But they need to, like Brian and Dave were saying, they have him on TV too much to start. They know they're doing it just right to have him on for, like, so many weeks and then give him little breaks here and there and then just, like, slowly build to, like, each pay-per-view. And, you know, I think it'll be still do an all right job. I mean, they'll probably fuck it up, but I think they might actually pull it off this time.
The only thing that has me nervous about Taker and Lesnar is you're not going to maximize the exposure. If you have a former UFC heavyweight champion against a movie star, you've got the chance that places like TMZ and all those, you know, pop culture things will pick up on it. I mean, I ultimately, for the Streak versus Lesnar, yeah, that's a better matchup. But as far as crossover exposure, which ultimately is going to draw more money, you almost would think that Lesnar and Rock would be better because Hollywood may even not get behind it, certainly. Obviously, Hollywood doesn't want The Rock doing what he's doing. But there still would be one of our own versus this monster beast over there, and you could even build it to where maybe you get some Hollywood stars to do cameos, siding with Rock and how Hollywood's better than wrestling, and then you've got the wrestling purists and the MMA people who would side with Brock. And I just, to me, I don't know that Brock is going to be able to reacclimate himself to a more, I don't want to say wrestling is a softer style, but to go in there with Taker in his current condition, you have a very good chance that Brock's not going to want to take as many bumps as he used to. And so, you know, a broken down or pretty close to broken down Taker versus Brock, who may be a little snugger than he was when he left for UFC, might actually be more of a disaster, at least in my estimation.
The only thing about the Rock and Brock, like, main event WrestleMania next year is I think they need to have somebody in there that's staying to, you know, that's still going to be on the roster afterwards, because as far as we know, you know, Rock is coming in, like, in a year from now to do another match, and Brock's only got a contract for a year. I think somebody needs to be in there that's in, you know, in the current mix of guys is the only thing I would say why I would not do that match.
They need to lose the guys that are on the roster. That's why it's better to have Cena beat The Rock and Undertaker to beat Rock.
I mean, to me, the perfect thing is to, you know, I do Rock and Cena for the title, and I think Cena has to get his win back.
That makes sense too.
Yeah. Also, you've got kind of a built-in storyline from when Brock and Taker went face to face in the UFC, and if somehow WWE could come up with that footage from Ariel Helwani.
Ariel Helwani is a big wrestling fan. I'm sure they'd have no problem getting that footage.
It would be awesome. I mean, plain and simple, if they have that footage and they're able to show it and build on a match from there, you know, you challenged me and bring Taker in, you know, a month and a half before, and just like they did this last time. I don't think anybody would have a problem seeing that match at WrestleMania next year.
And after the last 4 years, Taker does need like a superstar opponent.
Absolutely.
Because you know, he's on a roll here with, you know, having these great matches with like some of the biggest stars of all time. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, even before the two Shawns and then the two Hunter matches, and then he had the one with Batista that was really good too. So I mean, he's what, like 4 or 5 years into a really good run here.
I mean, the only other guy I could think of for Taker to face would be Cena at WrestleMania. There's no really anybody else on the roster I could see. Maybe Randy Orton, I don't know.
The only other thing I'll say before I let you guys go and get back to into whatever you were in the middle of before I got here, which I think was TNA, which is hardly as interesting.
Thank you.
Do you think that it is going to hurt them the way they've been over-pushing the legitimacy factor? You know, he's legitimate. I heard they said the word legitimate at least a dozen times on Raw, and isn't that drawing to, you know, the light of the fans, the idea that the rest of this stuff is all BS, the rest of this stuff is all lower level, and can that come back to bite them in the end?
I think it's actually a good thing that they're doing it.
I don't know, because it does make their product seem, you know, it kind of knocks their product.
It does.
I don't think you ever want to do that.
Well, it's like, you know, people kind of have this opinion that WWE right now is crap, and they're saying, like, okay, we're bringing back legitimacy. They're trying to change people's attitude instead of keeping us from thinking WWE, thinking, oh, like a bunch of ha-ha bullshit that, hey, we're going to watch somebody kick somebody's ass. You know, make it more, it's going to bring a feel more like when the Stone Cold era was around. It's more like, you know, it'll make you hype to see because you think people are actually going to get their ass kicked or something like that, and you bring, you know, there'll be more anticipation than, you know, people right now. They're thinking, okay, I'm going to watch, and they're seeing they're going to laugh about every single thing, even after he gets his ass kicked, and, you know, this is just a bunch of shit right now. And then, but if you kind of, you slowly change people's attitudes and minds and thinking that, hey, you know, Rob's cool again, you know, someone's going to, you know, Brock Lesnar's going to kill somebody, you know.
And then
yeah, wrestling hasn't, I was going to say, wrestling hasn't been cool and fun for a long time.
True.
And I hate to go back to that.
I did think of one final thing. I think it's kind of weird to, if you know you're going to bring Lesnar back and then be doing this Lord Tensai thing with the knockout stoppages, to me, why not put the knockout stoppages on Brock? And, you know, that doesn't make sense.
They need a book right after he kills Cena. They need a book Brock against Lord Tensai, have him kill him and send him back to Japan, because they fucking give him such shit.
Yeah, it's
I was
just
happy
getting
when
over.
They
like
send
I thought
him
they
back.
Wanted,
I'm like, okay,
they
we'll
wanted
get
to make
a chance, maybe whatever. But everything about it sucks, and he's sucked at it. I'm sorry, he does not look impressive at all. It looks like a slow, pondering big man, just like he looked before.
That kind of, you know, Japanese type monster, that's kind of like a, I don't know, it's not the, it's kind of a little old school, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe past its time, doing stuff like that, I don't know.
All right, guys, thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks so
okay,
much.
Okay,
man.
All right.
Good weekend. Well, that was fun. Let's get back to the main event.
Lesnar got over first by doing
okay.
It was funny that Lesnar came back when Tensai debuted and they're doing that finish, because that's the first thing Lesnar did when he came in. He was beating guys with the stoppages.
Yeah, but he was actually, you know, impressive doing it. Like when he killed both the Hardys, basically, and, you know, I mean, he just killed Lord Tez. He said it's boring, dude. Nothing he does is impressive. Nothing that's, you know.
He looks impressive. I mean, you know, just looking at the guy, it looks like he should be. He should be more of a killer than he is when in his matches.
He needs to speed that shit up because it's too goddamn slow. It's slow and boring.
But to be an A-Train, that wasn't that bad of a gimmick.
He was better when he was A-Train. I don't know. I heard
he
got all badass
when
he was in Japan, but I ain't seen it. I mean, to me, he's worse than he was.
He's better when he was a hip-hop hippo.
Right?
Scotty Scotty.
I don't know why they ever stopped doing those referee stoppages, because, like, when Triple H first, you know, quote-unquote, took over, they toyed with that for a few weeks on Raw, and then for whatever reason, they went back to, you know, dropping the arm or whatever. But I don't see anything wrong with that. If a guy's knocked out, you should stop the match.
Of the stoppages, aside from, like, a pin or a tap out, fans seem to boo that kind of thing. I don't know why.
Well, it's not what they're used to, that's why.
No.
Anyway, getting back to the TNA lockdown pay-per-view, we just have one more match to talk about, and that's Bobby Roode versus James Storm.
Yeah, James Storm, they kind of, I don't know, they kind of hurt him the last few months, I think. I think when he got the quick title win and the quick title loss and all that, I think it kind of hurt him a little bit. I think it would have been better if this was the first time he was getting a shot at the title.
They've done a good job the last 2 weeks, but you're right, they did. I mean, he had like a lot of momentum. He had more than Bobby Roode, and then they just kind of fucked it up.
Yeah,
I like
really
Roode
think it was going to be a really good match.
Roode's good. I don't know if it's time to take it off.
I think it's going to be a great match. You know, I would imagine they'll probably do double juice. I think it's just going to be a good match. I might go out of my way to see it.
Roode reminds me of like Triple H in the ring when he wrestles. And he's got kind of the same movements and mannerisms and stuff like that. He just doesn't carry a shovel.
So there's your lockdown pay-per-view for this weekend. Sunday, check your local pay-per-view provider and check it out. We have one last story to get into. It simply reads, Metallica's drummer speaks about Hogan's claims. Lars Ulrich, the drummer for Metallica, was on Howard Stern this past Tuesday and was asked about the story that Hulk Hogan was asked to join the band when he was younger. Ulrich started laughing at the story and said he had heard it 2 or 3 months ago and had no recollection of it happening. Then he joked that anything was possible between 7 a.m. or 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. when your noses are bleeding. Ulrich said he wasn't much of a wrestling fan and said perhaps Hogan auditioned under his Christian name. Terry, I would guess.
Hogan's so full of shit, his eyes are brown.
Right.
Funny.
But come on, it's an awesome story, man. Didn't you just see fucking Hulk Hogan in total gimmick? Red and yellow,
Hulk
just
Hogan
fucking
taking
Cliff Burns. I mean, Cliff Spot is there playing bass and banging his head, going a million miles an hour. It'd be awesome.
I'm sorry, I just can't imagine Hulk Hogan being a better bass player than Jason Newsted, the new guy, or Cliff Burton. Sorry.
I don't know who none of the people are.
Well, there you go.
Okay, well, Cliff was the original one who had the long hair, which is freaking awesome.
When did Sheamus quit as the frontman for Metallica and get into wrestling? That's my question. You got to admit that resemblance. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I noticed something
at WrestleMania when Sheamus came out for his match. When they had the open-air arenas, like the stadiums, they should only bring Sheamus out when it's dark.
True.
Because when it's light outside, it like magnifies his how pale he looks.
Right.
And when coming down that big white entrance ramp, and he looked like a chameleon, like next to that entrance ramp, because he just like blended in. But you know, I got to have people like on that show. So.
Yeah.
We all upset about that. I know Ed was.
You're wrong, dude. I was not upset about it. All I could do was bust out laughing, dude. As soon as he got kicked, I just in my head it's like he's gonna lose. So when they count up to three, I kind of just glanced to my, because I was on the last one in the row or the first one in the row. So I glanced to my left, and I just see Rodney there, mouth wide open, eyes bugging out. You know, then he just, you know, basically he faces in his hands, everyone's just freaking out, and I started laughing my ass off, actually, because it was like, the first thing that came to my head is that Vince trolled us. He ribbed, you know, it was the ultimate rib, and it just was like, all I could do was just appreciate the greatness of it.
Hey, it probably hurt Daniel Bryan more than it hurt him at this point.
It did. It did. I mean, because look what happened on Raw. And then the whole weekend, no matter where we were, that's all you freaking heard was yes chance, like crazy.
Well, did you watch, you know, you guys, did you watch the wedding last night when they said, do you accept? And the crowd was going, yes, yes, you know. It was amazing. But I was upset about it at first, but I got over it quickly. I didn't sit and stew on it. I really wanted to see the match, which really upset me the most. I couldn't really have cared less who won. But, you know, I was upset for a minute. But the only thing that made me laugh out loud was when Zach Ryder got pinned, because the people in front of us that were being jerks most of the evening, they were cheering for him. So when he got pinned, I had to go, ha!
We had great seats, and it was awesome, two whole rows, but I could totally remove every single person in the first rows in front of us and row or two in front of us, because you had the guys that you guys were throwing peanuts at.
No. Jorge was the only one throwing peanuts.
Your gay dad, he was like a professional baseball player and aiming a guy's ball spots with peanuts. And then we got that little short, fat, ugly little girl with her fucking shorts halfway down her ass.
Yeah.
Who kept having to stand up and just show everyone. Your wife, Craig, got a big kick out of her.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Rodney was trying Rodney was trying to zoom in his camera to take pictures, and as soon as he started to zoom out the lens, she stood up, and he got a full focus shot on his camera screen of her backside, which caused him to throw up in his mouth a little bit, and we were laughing so hard at Rodney that, oh, my God, and it was like, sweetheart, please. I mean, come on. And some of us have a little extra poundage, but it can be covered up, okay? Good Lord.
Oh, man. It was.
I love wrestling fans.
I can't get over that little girl, dude. How did you not know her ass was half her ass, more than half her ass, was hanging out of her shorts? And then when the tag was picking up and she pushed him down to crack her ass, oh, my God, dude. The visuals, the nightmares I will have of these visuals forever, dude.
We should have got Jorge to put a peanut in there for her.
He got the whole bag.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Is the person's name actually Jorge, or is the Graham messed it up so much that's his real his name now?
It's his real name now. He'll always be Jorge. Okay.
Poor Jorge. Awesome dude, by the way. Just a great dude.
I would have been upset if I got through the mania and got stuck behind a palm tree. You got to see any people like that?
Yeah. There had to have
been. They didn't block our view, but I think they got, like, Dr. Lucha was a victim of it, I think. But we were straight on, basically, they came out the one entrance and we were on the opposite side, pretty much in the middle.
Yeah, there had to have been people that had obstructed view with those palm trees. They were huge.
Yeah, they were pretty big.
It was the Hall of Fame. I didn't get to hear y'all talk much about that.
Ed?
The Hall of Fame was awesome, dude. You really would have liked it because they gave the Four Horsemen like a whole hour.
Oh, really?
I mean, if you like the little 5 minutes they showed on the Hall of Fame special, dude, get the DVD, dude, because they gave them they all took a turn giving a speech, and Rick was awesome. He'd go from like crying once half a sentence, and then half a sentence later just laughing his ass off to back to crying, and then Barry, dude, there's no way you would ever think Barry had a stroke or a heart attack. He was perfectly fine.
I thought he looked great, good. I mean, when it happened, it was like, well, they had WWE put him in a special facility, and they sound like he's on death's door. So I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I remember they did make it sound pretty bad, but no, he looked totally normal. And then Arn, and especially Telly, cut awesome promos and, you know, speeches. And, you know, they only show, like, just hints of it. I mean, they were great. I mean, that the whole thing, they were there for a whole hour, dude, pretty much.
Totally, when I was listening just a little bit that they showed of him, I can totally see him standing, like, up on the pulpit preaching, just the way his voice is.
Yeah.
I mean, I can totally, like, I remember from when I used to go to church when I was little, how the preacher used to talk.
Dude, right off the bat, his voice got higher, you know, like halfway through the sentence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was great. Telly was really, really great, and then Arn was really, really good. And then, Tyson was just wacky. Tyson was the one person that it was kind of hard to hear just because of his voice in general. But he was actually, it was pretty funny. But the best part of it was Hunter and Sean. I mean, just like last year when Hunter just like ripped Sean apart, he was just awesome when he was talking about how Tyson knocked him out, and he's all, Sean, go down! And Sean's just, you know, freaking out, you know, in geek mode. And they were awesome. I mean, they had us laughing our asses off.
I like when...
Edge is really good. And your buddy Lance Storm got name-dropped and even showed on the big screen during the Hall of Fame, Edge's speech.
I liked Triple H said, I don't know, I can't remember when it was, he said, oh, whatever, everybody knows you're better than me anyway, and started the Sean is better chance. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I don't like Hunter, the dude is freaking funny when he wants to be. Because, I mean, he was awesome last year doing Sean, and He was awesome this year, just fucking with Sean. So, yeah, he's great when it comes to stuff like that. And then Edge is great. And then, like, you know, like a lot of people didn't care about, like, Bill Moskowitz, but he actually wasn't that bad. He actually cracked me up a few times. And he was actually kind of funny. And
if Edge was still wrestling, that haircut would not become him. But as he's retired, it looks fine on him.
Yeah. I mean, he looked normal. And the one thing I didn't like about this Hall of Fame more than the other ones, there's one little nitpick, is you remember in Houston, Craig, they constantly pushed that this is the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Be respectful. And, you know, they didn't really do that at this one. And they were just douchebags just chanting or saying something. Like, there's a dude right in front of us just being a kind of a douchebag. And then there's a guy behind Ronnie doing the yes chants by himself, like, driving Ronnie up a wall. And, I mean, there were more douchebags at this Hall of Fame than the other three or four that I've been to.
That sucks. Well, another reason I don't regret not going, so.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it's just, you know, they stand out when they do it because it's, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I hear you. If you guys don't know, do yourself a favor and jump on over to AdamCarolla.com. Chris Jericho was a guest there this morning. Well, he probably taped it last night, but good stuff.
Did you ever send that email to Lance asking Jericho to be on our show?
Of course I did.
And we got no show by Chris Jericho, dude. That's
of course we did. He was even
Lance couldn't pull strings for us. That's how.
Well, what are you gonna do?
I got alcoholics in my family. I don't want to talk to Jericho.
Hey, it gives me an idea. It gives me an idea. Write an email for Edge and send it to Lance.
Ooh, not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Might be a free agent here before too long.
My sister's got drug problems. I can't have Jericho on the show.
Mm.
Or being a crack whore or something.
Right.
And talk about people that don't need to be wearing certain outfits. That chick singing in that last song before The Rock came out, good God almighty, I don't know what she was wearing, but she didn't need to be wearing it.
You're talking about
Flo Rida, which is like the stupidest name for a person I've ever heard, or musical act
heard
in my fucking life.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm going to be, my name is going to be Miss Mississippi. Or Louisiana.
All right. Well, there are some, let's see about rap or hip hop, they do have some stupid names, dude.
I really did like Machine Gun Kelly performance. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that song more than the other one.
I think I like that song.
His chick was better than Flo Rida's chick.
I normally don't like rap, but when you got like a good-looking chick singing really good in it, you know, and then parts of it, I think that's I really like that song. It's pretty good.
I thought this was the worst WrestleMania for music in a long, long time. Just saying.
Oh, well, excuse them for not hiring Eddie Vedder.
No, they just need to go back to Big Time and use that for something.
Exactly. Thank you.
I love that thing.
Go back. Yeah, I do too.
I don't know why all the hate. I mean,
it's a big event theme. Maybe it's like 20 years old, but I mean, Jesus Christ. I didn't complain like I don't know, 15 years ago when they used Highway to Hell for SummerSlam. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Eddie Vedder, I hear your trip to Texas got postponed.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to Texas until November. So apparently Eddie Vedder was surfing months ago and hurt his back, and now he has nerve damage in his right hand. So they had to postpone a bunch of dates, and so I basically lost my trip for my birthday. So...
Well, you've had enough birthday parties as it is, dude. You don't need to be too selfish. I mean, you had two in Fort Lauderdale as it is on the same day, and then
right.
You just had one with that bastard Rodney who was over there and didn't take me. And
might have another one tomorrow if things work out. Oh,
they
by
can't
the
just
way.
Put the microphone on a stand, then he can just stand there and sing. He's got to have it in his hand.
Well, he plays guitar and sings, and it's just him on by himself.
Okay.
No big backing band or anything like that when he does his solo stuff. Anyway, last week, as you guys know, Rodney's in town, and this is totally off topic, and if you don't know who Rodney is and you're listening to our show, I apologize.
Yeah, because he's a jerk.
Anyway, I took Rodney around town all day Friday last week, and then most of the day on Saturday.
Okay, I got what happened at the restaurant. Tell the story. What happened? Did they get racist on Rodney, or did Brian piss them off and kick y'all out? Did they kick y'all out?
Well, okay, neither one of those things happened. It was a folly of a day on Friday, on Saturday. I took Rodney over to West Seattle, and we got some grub, and I took him to, like, the photo op place in Seattle, because you're actually in Seattle, but you're looking at the Seattle waterfront from West Seattle. So he was just blown away by the awesome day we had. I mean, it was gorgeous outside. He took taking pictures like a tourist and everything. And we got some pizza, and then we started heading back because we're going to do this thing called Ride the Ducks. Basically, it's an amphibious. It drives on the street, and then it also will go into the water, so it does both things. You know, it's like a tour of downtown Seattle. My wife buys the tickets, and we have to be there at, like, I think it was at 3 o'clock. Or was it 2:30, excuse me. And we had to be there a half hour early. Well, for whatever reason, they had two of the major roads closed, and it just so happens to be one of them was from West Seattle. So we ended up being late. We were supposed to meet Brian and Whitney there. And, you know, we're calling them. We're so sorry. We're stuck in traffic. We're so sorry we're stuck in traffic. And anyway, long story short, we get there, and Brian realizes that, okay, we're going to be about a half hour late. We switched our tickets. So Brian goes, I can't go. I'm going to go ahead and trade these tickets in. So he takes the tickets back up and says, I can't go. Can you give my friend her money back? And they're like, sure thing, you know, we understand, you know, traffic's horrible, blah, blah, blah. So Brian comes back, he gives me back the two tickets, and there's a total on the back of it. We go to get on the boat, me, Rodney, my wife, my son, and people are sitting in our seats. And so now we're having a big discussion. Well, anyway, long story short, the lady at the box office had taken Brian's two tickets and had canceled all six of them.
Oh, damn.
So we're standing there, and we're like, and my son's going, Daddy, we're not going to ride the boat. And I'm like, no, we're not. And my wife's upset and blah, 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 blah. It was just stupid. So we left, and long story short.
I just said, it sounds like Brian's at fault already. You're not at the restaurant. So, you know, one way or another, so, Brian had to screw something up.
It wasn't his fault. It was their fault. But anyway, long story short, my wife called them today and said, hey, you know, this is what happened, this, that, and the other thing. And the lady was so apologetic that she comped us six tickets for tomorrow. So we're going to go on the trip tomorrow, and it's not going to cost us a thing. And they ran our credit card at like $170 for those six tickets. So
cool. Brian Howard screws it up for everybody and gets y'all kicked off the boat.
We'll see what happens.
Or he's going to wreck the boat somehow.
but hit a scene
or something.
Anyway, on the way to the restaurant, Granny had said, we're going to Claim Jumper, this, that, and the other thing. Well, my wife tried to call and make her reservations, and they said, well, we don't do reservations. And she said, well, can we put our name in now, and then we'll get there? She said, well, I can't give you a table for eight people, blah, 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 blah. And my wife's like, well, can you give us two tables that are close to each other? And the girl on the phone said, we can't push tables together, ma'am. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
It must be the only restaurant in the history of humankind that won't do that, because...
Exactly. So, you know, we called an audible...
There are families that are bigger than four people, so they expect four people to...
You don't have Masonic.
I couldn't believe it. So, anyway, long story short, we ended up going to Cheesecake Factory, I got
have
sung
they seen
to
Rodney
again.
At this point? Have they seen Rodney at this point?
No, they had not seen Rodney at this point. Thank
okay.
you, Ed. But we are going to Claim Jumper tomorrow, closer to Brian's house, where apparently they can push tables together there and not at the one closer to my house. So there you go.
Now, have you ever eaten there? Maybe they were just pissed off at
oh,
you
yeah.
guys.
No, I love that place. That place is amazing.
So but, where did y'all end up going?
Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, that's right.
There's nothing wrong with
that. Again. So I got
yeah.
second time in a week that y'all went to the Cheesecake Factory and
yeah.
didn't bother to invite me.
Well, you were in Texas and we were here in Washington.
That's
really
just
nice
to show an invite, you know. You could have made
a
Facebook invitation thing like everybody does just to be nice and say, hey, I know you can't make it to my party because you're way over there, but just so you know, you are invited.
That's because they know that you can't come. That's why they invite you.
Hmm. Yeah, there's some
at least that's what I heard.
Somewhere. Well, next year you guys are invited to my 41st birthday. There you go. Everybody on the posting right now. Come on.
Are we going to be in freaking New Jersey on your birthday next year?
The day before, actually, it was Mania. It is April 7th. So, see what happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And thank everybody a couple weeks ago for waking me up by nagging on my Facebook. It's my birthday, even though Ed didn't do it.
Well,
I don't remember seeing your birthday. What was this?
April the 1st.
When we were in, yeah.
It was when you were at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I wasn't really on Facebook that much, but I do know that I went to Craig's Facebook because Craig asked everybody on the show to go to Facebook and wish them a happy birthday, and I go to Facebook, Craig's Facebook, and I can't post anything on there.
Would you get banned?
Yeah, no, I banned everybody from posting on my Facebook wall. You can send me messages all day long. That's no big deal, but I just don't let people post on my wall. It's nothing personal.
Well, it sounds personal.
Well, it's not. I'm telling you, if
somebody post something nasty on there or something?
Many times, actually.
The gay porn?
I don't know how many.
Is it for
oh,
the gay
yeah,
porn
I got
or
the,
other stuff?
Oh, yeah, I got the gay porn. Of course. Oh, yeah.
I'm just glad that ended. It's been like a long time since we've seen any of that shit.
Well, yeah, thank God. By the way, before I forget, I'm going to be off the next 2 weeks. So I'll be sure to join you guys on 200. I'll be, I'm going to a luau next weekend.
To a luau.
Yes. Hopefully I don't have to wear the grass skirt.
You going to get laid?
I was actually about to make a joke,
probably.
But then I don't want to hurt your feelings making a chubby joke.
Yes, yes. They're not roasting me yet.
Yeah. Watch out if you see someone with a steak. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to a luau next weekend, and then the week after that there's actually Impact Wrestling is in town.
Why do they
Everybody
always go over there and they never come
TNA.
Over here when they know they could draw? Because don't you remember when they had Road Dogg and Billy Gunn and they said they were
yeah.
coming to San Antonio to confront Shawn Michaels, but they didn't actually come on the day they were coming, and on the day they said they were coming, there was actually a shitload of people waiting for them.
they taped it at the Alamo or something like that, but it wasn't on the right day.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
were they coming
gosh.
To Kent again? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they're coming to Kent again.
Why do they always go to Kent? I mean,
because the arena is smaller. Just being honest, the arena there is smaller.
Is Jeremy Borash going to get the word from the call from Dixie? Said we may have a pay per view in here in Kent.
Exactly.
As if
they said it the last two times they've been here.
But you know, you
can have your little TNA show because, you know, and I forgot exactly when, but in coming up, I get to be at a Lucha Libre USA live event at the Alamo Dome. Me
That's
and
cool.
probably like four of the people.
Oh, man.
Are they going to beat WrestleMania 17 for attendance?
Probably not.
I'm pretty sure they will not. I think they drew like 1,500, maybe 2,000 last time they were here.
Is that the one that's on MTV2 or was on MTV2 or something?
Yeah, that's the Lucha one was on MTV2 or something for like a couple weeks. And for some reason, like they go to Vegas and they book the Thomas and Mack, which is a 16, 17, 18,000 seat building, which is way too big for them. And they just booked a 60, 70,000 stadium for their show here.
That's silly. I mean, that's
they're probably going to use the Spurs old configuration, but that's still 35,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be what? A handful of people there. It's going to be crazy. But I think someone told me Melina is supposed to be on the show or something.
Ooh. Get her on the show, Ed. Along with Shelly.
See what I can do.
You're going to see Shelly Martinez
lately. Aren't you seeing Shelly Martinez this weekend?
Yeah
I'm probably. I don't think. Unless something comes up, I'm going to go check it out. And
ask her how
they're bringing in Shelly Martinez. They're bringing in Gorgeous George. And they're bringing in. Who the hell is they bringing in? Alyssa Flash is coming back. And I think that's it as far as who they're bringing in, but it should be a decent show.
Ask Shelly how big Batista's dick is.
Oh, jeez. Don't do that.
You remember there was a photo of her where she's at like a toy store and she's got the Batista doll and she's all shooting him the finger?
Yeah, that was funny.
That was like, awesome. She's actually coming out on TV tonight.
Did they just have like a run-in or were they together at some point?
Who?
Batista and Shelly Martinez.
I think he hit on her and she blew him off, and then that's why she got pretty much fired or whatever.
I know he was they redid the triangle with Candido and Sonny and Sean with Batista and John Morrison and Melina. Didn't they?
I know Batista was running through those divas awful quick. So
did that tell you about when I got banned from the Pro Wrestling Torch?
Which time?
No, and that's how they got banned from
this was from their entire site. I got a refund.
What happened at the Torch?
My subscription canceled.
Why? What did you say? He was gay or something?
No, I did not. I said, Wade Keller does these quote-unquote humor columns every once in a while. And if you've ever read any, you know they're not funny. They're all lame.
Right.
So I said, your humor columns are never funny. None of the humor columns at the Torch are funny. I just wrote that, like in one of those comment sections, like at the bottom of an article on the internet or something. I just kind of wrote that. And and I said, stick to, you're big on conspiracy theories and, ranting and raving. Like when Eric Young got knocked out from a chair shot and he landed on top of Gail Kim and he went on a rant about how it simulates rape or something like that.
Okay.
And so the next day, I got two emails on my phone, and one was a refund from my subscription, and the subscription was canceled. So people are sensitive these days. I don't know. I was playing around. You can't play around. That's why I like the board. You can play around with Brian and Dave. They don't care, really.
So did you just get banned off their message board, or Dave, you're done with the Torch?
The whole site. Canceled everything.
Oh, wow.
Fucked up. I mean, I'm the best revenge. If I don't like something, I'm going to keep charging you for it. I'll take your money.
That's what Brian
does.
Shit what you
say about
me. Like,
you're just paying to yell at me. I don't. You're the dumbass. So, you want to cancel my subscription? Cancel my subscription. I don't give a shit.
I love when people get bad and come right back with another subscription right away.
Yeah. An alias.
Open gay. You got more names than Beefcake.
Right.
Of course.
Did I tell you my Xbox Live account got hacked?
Wait, for what?
My Xbox Live account got hacked.
Your Xbox Live account got hacked?
Yeah. You know, when I get on
that,
I can play like online video games. And like, that's where I watch like Netflix and YouTube on my TV and stuff like that.
Sure.
I woke up, it was a few weeks ago, it actually was about a month or so ago, and had like three emails. One was a charge to my account, because I use PayPal, you know, like pay for everything on there. So one was like an $80 charge for some Microsoft points. Then another one was a $40 charge for some Microsoft points. That's like $120 of my money somebody charged on there, hacked my account and charged on there. And
that sucks.
Yeah. So I had to get my account like shut down and some kind of investigation done, and I got my money refunded. But that's the kind of shit that makes me want to hunt somebody down and kill them. That pisses me off.
Yeah, that is some fucked up shit.
But plus, it makes me worry about, you know, being on the internet and stuff. You know, I got accounts here and there for different things. So.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a bunch of heroes that do this. So they can play FIFA soccer or something. I don't know. If I had a disposable income to hunt somebody down and just beat the shit out of them for something like this, I would.
Get a knock at your door, and it's a guy ready to kill you. Yeah. Hey, I think we're done with our stuff here. They say we call it a night.
That's right. I'm going out tonight.
Oh, really?
You're going out. Where are you going?
I'm going out to the nightclub tonight and do some drinking.
What kind of nightclub are you going to, if you don't mind
me
asking?
What kind of nightclub? I don't know, just like a
Are you going to a country nightclub? Are you going to
a black nightclub?
Are you going to, you know, rocks nightclub? You know, there's all that strip club.
That's true.
Just a bar, a nightclub. Play all kinds of different music. That's in like, not like a specific kind or anything like that.
I would imagine you're not going to like a Jersey Shore type nightclub where you're going to fist pump and hear techno music all night.
And smell hair gel all night.
Right.
Now I'm just going out to a club and go and, you know, give some women some thrills with my ill lady skills, stuff like that.
Somebody gonna drop
like
that one.
I've been practicing that one all day.
With your ill lady skills.
Yeah.
Hey Greg, did you book your New Jersey hotel already?
No, I have not. I'm actually still thinking about going. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to go yet. I'll probably end up going
to New Jersey.
Yeah, pretty much.
I booked mine. I mean, I think that it's a pretty sweet deal considering we're going to I mean, I know we're staying in New Jersey, but, you know, you can't be at $110 a night on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Pretty breakfast.
Very true.
You can go anytime. I asked
him if they go
this
year,
and he said they were all full.
Well, I guess I better get on it then if I'm gonna go.
Basically,
if I go this year, I'll be flying solo. So my wife says she's sitting next year out. So probably because there's no beach in
too many folks in New Jersey.
There's no beach in New Jersey. Jersey Shore, dude.
And it's farther away than right there, though, Ed.
Apparently,
it's
full of douchebags.
To the beach. Well, you didn't see Miami. There was douchebags everywhere.
Did I get one of those Cobra things for Whitney?
Yeah, he was looking for one because me and Ronnie came up. We were walking through to our seats. The little midget walked in front of us, and we're like, what's going on? He's like, I'm looking for a Cobra puppet for Whitney, but I don't think he found one.
No, he just came back with a 12-inch hot dog. No, you can get them online. I haven't seen them at the live shows. So. Yeah, he went looking for a snake, and he came back with a 12-inch dog. That's no lie. He came back with a 12-inch hot dog.
massive 12-inch hot dog.
That's what it was. It was 12 inches, and it looked like a hot dog.
Yeah, it's like sure. Every time I got in that damn line, and I was like, cheap with just a couple people away from the counter, they'd be like, we're out of hot dogs for like so long. I'd be like, oh, you bastard.
They were out of everything so quickly this year. It was insane. We're out of pop. We're out of this. We're out of that.
Well, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up here so Craig can get off the line here. But before we go, do you have any last things you want to talk about, Craig?
There is nothing left to be said. I don't have anything left. I'm going to go down and watch War Horse.
War Horse?
Yeah.
Okay.
A movie about a horse. Apparently.
A horse that was chicken shit, and the whole preview is a horse running away from battle.
They made
a movie about a horse that was kick ass and went head on. Took no prisoners.
How does a horse take prisoners, Ed? Please explain this to me.
Well, I'm just saying, the horse could have gone in there and kicked people in the head with some ass, but instead in the whole preview, he's running the other way.
I see. Okay. Well,
maybe it's like in Police Academy when he went head first and then the horse. They took prisoners.
do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, the barbarian just rammed animal's head into the barbells, and the barbells are rolling to the crowd in the Greensboro Coliseum. It's very serious.
Do you watch wrestling like 24/7? I mean, is it always on at your place? Or?
Well, no, I was just putting some on on DVD today. I started putting some because I finished doing together my 1988 compilation I'm making, so I'm putting it on DVDs. So it's on the
gotcha. Did we ever talk about the last episode of Walking Dead?
Jeez.
The last episode of Walking Dead.
Yeah, this is the season finale one.
I can't even remember what happened. It was such a while back.
Oh.
I remember it was the one before where the guy became a zombie, even though he never got bit. So.
Okay. Well, that was
apparently
the
head
last.
To the prison is going to be a big part of the next season that I hear about in the comic book.
Yeah.
You ever watch The Walking Dead, Craig?
I'm sorry?
You ever watch The Walking Dead?
No, I never have. I'm not into
it's on Netflix,
horror.
But you should check it out. It's a pretty good show.
I'm not into those horror movies or stuff like that. I mean, I think the last thing I watched Zombieland, but that's like, and that was just a goof. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't really overdo it on The Walking Dead. You know, it's that total.
That's so much gore. Like, it's more story and everything.
Last episode, they went to war with the zombies and. They were blowing everything off left and right, but that was, to see the finale. But
I'm not into those blood and guts type movies or the horror genre. I just, I'd rather watch War Horse.
Human Centipede 2 is on Netflix.
Oh, jeez.
I
won't see that
people together now instead of one, instead of three.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway,
okay, I'm going to go now.
I guess we'll wrap it up. Everyone check out
everybody can go to my YouTube channel and watch some wrestling videos. And also got a few seasons of the TV show Criminal Minds I've been watching a lot of lately. So you can go watch some episodes there. Excellent show.
So you interrupted my plug, Angry Marks, to plug your Criminal Minds thing.
That's what he said.
Okay. Yeah, interruption on this show? My God. That's a...
Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can not only download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And so everyone check out AngryMarks.com.
Okay, Nikita and Dusty are against Midnight Express on the cage now. Okay, this is good. I'll talk to you.
That actually sounds pretty good. But okay, let's see here. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. And I just noticed this was on here, so I'm going to play this.
Kelly Blanchard, Arn Anderson, James J. Dillon, Ric Flair, The Four Horsemen, the most powerful name in professional wrestling. Their strength is legendary. Their stamina is boundless. Their endurance is beyond the ordinary. And you are about to discover their most powerful secret. This is the Full Horseman Top Performance System of caplets and chewable wafers, formulated especially for the Four Horsemen to provide peak energy, endurance, and unsurpassed power.
Power Formula 1 and Power Formula 2, the top performance system that has made the Four Horsemen most fearful force in professional sports.
Formula One chewable wafers for that quick burst of energy. And Formula Two, an exclusive complex of the most potent herbs, extracts, vitamins, and amino acids. Take it from the champ.
Formula One, Formula Two, the power secret of the Four Horsemen. Use it every day, and you'll improve your performance in everything you do.
The power secret of the pros, yours if you order now.